Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Senior Editor Kelly Davio. The cost of cancer care is on the rise worldwide, and biosimilars present one option for bringing down costs. However, those savings depend on the adoption and the use of biosimilars, and hesitancy to use these agents on the part of prescribers has been well documented in the literature. In a study newly published in ESMO Open, investigators reported on a survey conducted among European Society for Medical Oncology members and attendees of the 2017 ESMO Congress in Madrid, Spain, concerning biosimilars. In the 19-question survey, only 49% of prescribers reported that they use biosimilars in routine clinical practice, with more respondents from the Asia-Pacific region using these agents than their European counterparts. This week, we're speaking with the study's lead author, Rosa Giuliani, MD. She's a medical oncologist at the Christie Hospital in Manchester, United Kingdom, and also the chair of ESMO's Global Policy Committee. Dr. Giuliani, thank you so much for being with the Center for Biosimilars today.
Thank you to you for having me.
My first question for you is, can you tell us a little bit about the survey on biosimilars that ESMO conducted among prescribers?
Yeah, so the European Society for Medical Oncology, ESMO, as you say, has actually planned a survey with the aim to understand whether potential gaps were present in the knowledge of biosimilars among medical oncologists and particularly medical oncologists who prescribe drugs, so prescribers. So the point is that it is very obvious, it is very clear now that biosimilars can reduce the cost of cancer treatments and therefore they may contribute to the sustainability of the health systems. But what is really important, for instance, for me as a medical oncologist, that they can broaden the access to biologic drugs, which in several countries are still quite difficult to get to offer to patients. So we wanted really to understand can be the barriers in the uptake of biosimilars, if they exist. And so the survey was meant to figure out the reasons for these barriers, and also the knowledge and the degree of confidence that oncologists and hematologists have with respect to biosimilars. So the survey was structured in a very easy way, where 19 questions regarding general concept about biosimilars, but also then more specific topics such as extrapolation and switching. And I think it's very important to remind that the survey was launched and run between September and October 2017. So it's quite already, a long time ago that we've done this exercise. And I think that considering the results and considering also all the dialogues that have been promoted in the field of biosimilars, I think that may be a good idea at some point to repeat to launch again the survey. And so the results of the survey were very interesting. There were 495 responders, but actually the results are that we examined are from the 393 prescribers. And the majority of the participants were from Europe, 76%, but there was also a reasonable number from other countries and continents, with 19% of responders from Asia, and 11% from America, 3% from Africa, and very few participants from Australia. So I would say that the results are quite interesting because are not limited to prescribers from Europe, but also from other continents. And the survey, as I say, was structured in a four domains. The first one about the general knowledge and perception on biosimilars, and the other three domains that dealt with more specific concept.
And what did your survey find in terms of how aware prescribers are of some of the key concepts that relate to the science behind biosimilars?
Oh, I found that, you know, the results of the survey were very, very informative. So, for instance, I was very pleased to learn that almost 80% of the responders felt that they have a very good knowledge of biosimilars. And actually, 75% of them identified the right definition of biosimilars. There was also a reasonable amount of responders, 60%, who feel comfortable, declare to feel comfortable in using biosimilars which are approved by the regulatory body in Europe, the European Medicine Agency. So there were a number of very positive results. But I hope at least that those numbers are increased since the time the survey was launched, given the fact that there has been a very global effort in the dialogue about biosimilars, and this has been promoted by several parties, the bioorganization societies such as ESMO, but also by the regulators and other organizations such as the WHO. Aside these very promising results, when digging a little bit further, only 45% of prescribers, for instance, could identify the right definition of a sensitive population. And I was a bit, I didn't like particularly the results about the fact that 28% of responders believe that more comparative efficacy and safety studies should be performed when thinking of extending the indication of biosimilars to from one specific indication to another. And also we noticed some uncertainty in the definition between the differentiation between switching, interchangeability and substitution. So In a way, the results have been very interesting, and they highlight the fact that there are many prescribers that are well aware of the of biosimilars. But on the other hand, it was clear that some specific topics, such as switching and extrapolation, needs to be further discussed and understood.
You also had some interesting findings with respect to how many prescribers are actually using biosimilars in clinical practice. Can you talk a little bit about what you found there?
Well, what we realize is that the number of prescribers of biosimilar is actually higher in the Asia Pacific area, and it is 56%. Compared to the European area, where we have just only 46% of prescribers of biosimilars. So I think that this rate, to be honest, is not that encouraging, and I was expecting a higher percentage of clinician to with respect to the prescription of biosimilars. So I think that being optimistic by nature, I saw that this may be due to the fact that when the survey was launched in 2017, in many countries there were not the monoclonal antibody biosimilar were not available. So I thought that maybe prescribers, when thinking of biosimilars, were mainly referring to monoclonal antibody biosimilars, and this may explain maybe the rate of prescribers lower than expected. But actually, this is just my speculation. And as I said, it will be very interesting to repeat again the survey and see if this number has risen or not.
One of the countries that had the lowest rate of biosimilar use was the United Kingdom, where you practice. Do you have any thoughts about what might be behind the low rate of biosimilar prescribing in the UK?
Well, this is one of is the result that maybe I understand less from the survey, and once again I think that it should be really put into the context of the timing when the survey was launched. Nevertheless, I was really surprised by the low rate of prescribers biosimilars, and once again, seeing now in practice the uptake of biosimilar in UK, I think that we will come up with a totally different rate if we just launch the same survey right now.
With respect to biosimilar education, most of the prescribers that you surveyed said that they wanted some more educational activities from ESMO. What kinds of activities were they hoping to see offered?
Oh, that was a very interesting result that we found when examining this question, because so the common denominator to all responders is that further education is needed. But then when thinking of which tools to promote this education, we went from webcast, from face-to-face meetings, such as the many meetings that ESMO has organized during, for instance, the annual congress, colloquia, and so on. And also we have someone that wanted to have quizzes about biosimilars, which I found quite amusing and also really interesting. So I think that, as I say, the common denominator is that this is not the end of the story. This is the beginning of the discussion that we have on biosimilars, and I think that we still need to discuss more some specific topics. And I am very, very pleased, and also to be a bit proud, to be honest with you, that ESMO has just launched last week, just launched a biosimilar portal, which is available in the ESMO website, where there are four main pages which are related to the science behind biosimilars, all the educational tools that are available and that are have been promoted by ESMO, and also the notion and the data concerning the regulation which support the biosimilar approval. And very importantly, there is a pillar which is completely dedicated to patient, and so with a series of resources for patient, including, for instance, the ESMO infographic which was promoted as well during the 2017 and 2018 ESMO annual congress, 2018 ESMO annual congress, and which I think explained in a very clear way, with a very understandable language, the all the facts around biosimilars and the specific element for a patient. But also there are many other resources that can be really useful, both for clinicians and for patients to understand more about biosimilars. So I will encourage everybody to look at this portal, because I think that is truly informative.
And if we take a step back and just look at it from sort of a global perspective, why is it so important that we educate providers about biosimilars right now?
I think that we are back to one of the first sentence that I discussed in the context of our chat today, and that is that I really won't be ever too tired to repeat that biosimilars are really an important tool with respect to two main points. First of all, they will allow us to deliver high quality care in a sustainable way, which is something that is very important for every healthcare system, even in countries where do not have particular economical constraint. So even in richer countries. But mainly and above all, this is the way to allow patients that so far haven't been treated in different parts of the world with very good drugs because of the cost. And so having the biosimilars having the biosimilars could really help patients to have access to exceptionally good biologic drugs. So I want clinicians to feel confident about the prescription of biosimilars. I want them to feel confident about the science that support the development of these drugs. And at the same time, I really would like patients to feel reassured about the quality of care that they are provided when they are treated with biosimilars. So this is why I think it's very important that everybody is on the same wavelength, and we need to educate ourselves and to learn more and to feel confident about these drugs.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Giuliani, for sharing your thoughts today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Not So Different. For a link to Dr. Giuliani's study, visit our show notes, where we'll also have a link to ESMO's educational materials that were mentioned by Dr. Giuliani in this podcast. Remember, if you like the podcast, please take a moment to rate us at iTunes. Until next time, thanks for listening.